Comes Hollywood Theater presents Mr. Cesar Romero in Sitting Duck.
Windows, thousands of them, on all sides of me. And at one of them stands a man with a high-powered rifle, slowly, carefully bringing me into focus in the telescopic sight. And there's nothing I can do. I'm a sitting duck.
Welcome to the Tums Hollywood Theater. Tales of suspense, thrills, adventure. Brought to you by Tums.
Take Tums.
Tums for the tummy.
Don't let acid indigestion get you down. Get Tums.
Tums for the tummy.
Always keep that handy little roll around. Eat what you like. Don't let heartburn strike. Get T-U-M-S. Tums.
Beware by carb. Be sure with Tums. Tums can't overalkalize, can't cause acid rebound. With Tums, acid indigestion and heartburn just fade away. For Tums are guaranteed to contain no soda. Get Tums, still only 10 cents a roll. Now here's the Tums Hollywood Theater presentation of Sitting Duck, starring Mr. Cesar Romero.
I can only think of three reasons why a guy would sit on a flagpole for 100 days. One, he's got a personal beef against the world and wants to prove a point. Two, he's a professional at it, working an advertising angle. Or three, because his life depends on it.
Fred, this guy sat on that flagpole over 70 days.
So what? What 70 days? He made plenty, Danny, you can bet.
Why all this about flagpoles? Who cares?
Yeah, just give me half of what he made. Just half. I'd stay up there 100 days.
Hey, fella.
Yeah?
Tell me up, Fred. That's Al Kazan. He operates big in this part of town.
So what? You speaking to me, bud?
Yeah. Yeah, you talk big. I like people who talk big.
What do you want?
Well, I've been sitting there listening to you kick all night. Guess you figure you got something coming to you.
So what?
How would you like a chance to back your big talk with a little action?
Oh, gee, Mr. Kazan, this is a friend of mine, Fred Hollis. We didn't mean
What's
nothing.
What's your name?
Danny. Danny Riley, Mr. Kazan.
All right, Danny. Keep out of this.
Hey, look, mister. What's your proposition?
Well, that flagpole stunt. 100 days, you say? So you got it. You got a bet.
What are you talking about? What kind of a bet?
$20,000 says you don't sit on that stick for 100 days.
Hey, Fred,
let's get out of here,
now,
Fred.
Take it easy, Lucy. Hey, look, Mr. Kazan, I'm sorry, but as much as I'd like to, financially, I don't bat in your league.
Oh, it can be arranged.
Yeah? How?
Well, say a little insurance policy for, say, $20,000.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And do I get three guesses who the beneficiary is?
You need three guesses?
What about the premiums?
I'll take care of them. They're deductible from your winnings, of course, if there are any.
Now, let me get this straight, Kazan. If I sit on a flagpole for 100 days, I win $20,000. Is that it?
That's it. Big talk.
And if I don't?
Then I win.
You, collect on the insurance policy.
That's right.
Look, Mr. Kazan,
he's
you don't want...
Fred, come on, Mr.
Shut up. Look, mister, I may be big talk, but then maybe you're the big talk. Okay? If this is on the level, you just made yourself a bet. That was screwy, crazy. I should have had my head examined for letting myself get roped into such a deal. But at the time, all I could see was that big $20,000 at the end of the line. A day later found me holding a $20,000 insurance policy with the first 3 months paid in full. The beneficiary was a Miss Amy Smith. A phony, of course, because Ann gave me the name.
All right,
Hollis, some friends of mine have got the stick all ready for you. It's not a bad setup.
Yeah, you don't waste any time.
Well, I don't believe in wasting time. Hey, we put you right by the waterfront. You know, where you can enjoy the ocean breeze.
And maybe catch pneumonia, huh?
Yeah, that's okay with me.
Look, just suppose I do last up there. Why should I think you'd pay off? Maybe I better cut my throat right now and be done with it.
I don't feel that way, big talk. I never backed down on a bet in my life. I wouldn't still be in business if I had. Only remember, when you're ready to quit up there, well, I hope you know what to do.
Fred, call it off. Please, call it off.
Easy, baby, easy.
Well, how do you like it?
Is it strong enough? It seems to be swaying.
Yeah, the outfit I hired it from gave me their personal guarantee that it'll stand in a hurricane.
Thanks. Now I feel good.
Okay, Hollis. You're clocked in at 12 noon, December 20th. And if you make it, you can come down and stretch your legs on the 30th of March.
And if I don't, I better just throw myself off and hope I break my neck. Is that it?
Well, I'd hate to have any trouble collecting on that policy.
Oh, Fred.
Hey, Fred, listen
to
me.
Hey, how about a little advance, Kazan?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Something for the wife? Sure. Give him a grand, Mickey.
You can deduct this from my winnings, too.
Yeah, sure, sure.
It was a professional rig, 50 foot high, with a platform on top of it, 3 by 4 feet. When the ocean breeze was a little gusty, it swayed like a palm tree. Up there, I had a chair to sit on, a couple of blankets, a picture of Lucy. And that was it for 100 days. Danny and Lucy had spent their days below sending me up food and cigarettes and magazines on a little swing and pulley deal that was part of the rig. That first day, a newspaper got a hold of the story. And after that, there was always a couple of curious people hanging around, gawking up at me. There was a metal ladder attached to the rig, and sometimes Lucy or Danny'd climb up it and talk to me, kind of keep me company for a while. I spent the first 10 days wishing I'd never been born, trying to figure out which was colder, the days or the nights.
Anything you'd like, Fred?
Yeah, a bag and a barber. Oh, the stubble's beginning to itch like crazy.
Oh, Fred.
Hey, how's the money holding out?
Oh, it's holding out fine. Fred, I moved.
You moved? Well, where? Why?
Over there. See that building far away? Behind that big one.
Yeah, but why?
It's the only place that had a room where...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, which is the window, honey?
The third one from the top, on the end.
Can you really see me from there?
Yes, darling, when it isn't foggy. Oh, Fred, let's run away.
Yeah, that'd be fine. And have Kazan's gorillas dogging my heels for the rest of my days?
He hasn't been around even once.
Oh, forget it. Kazan's no fool. He's got a day and a night watch on me, even if we can't see him. And so do the gunsels he's bet with. I'm a pretty important figure, Lucy. You know, I represent a big investment. Ten days. 20 days. 30 days. Slowly they crawled by and joined up into weeks. Weeks of rain and freezing wind skirting off the face of the water. And my beard began to grow and itch. 40 days, 50 days. But the nights were the loneliest. Straining my eyes, looking for a lighted window, third from the top on the end. Because Lucy was there, keeping me company. 60 days and my beard was nearly down to my chest, itching fierce. 80 days, 90 days, and then suddenly I was laughing. Because I was going to make it. The big talk was going to make it. 20 grand, and I was going to collect. And then it happened. It was on the night of the 97th day, a little before 12 o'clock. I was just starting to doze when I heard a car pull up right below at the end of the pier. The door opened, and 2 men got out. Then one of them began shooting. I fell face down on the platform. I was shaking all over. But after a while, when I calmed down a bit, I crawled to the edge of the platform and I looked over. One guy was bent over a body, giving it the chain and sinker treatment. He rolled the body over the edge of the pier, and then he drove away. But not before I made a mental note of that license number. The next morning broke nice and clear.
The sun was out big and hot. I signaled for Lucy to come up. I had to tell somebody what I'd seen.
Fred, you've got to tell the police.
Oh, are you crazy? Don't you understand? The guy didn't even know I was here. If I spill to the cops, the newspapers will get a hold of it, and my pictures will be plastered on every front page. He'll surely find out about me then.
But he'll find out anyway. He'll come back. He'll return to the scene of the crime. He'll see you up here, and he'll know you saw him. He'll kill you, Fred. He'll kill you.
Funny thing. It hadn't occurred to me before. And I sat there sweating, looking at Lucy crying. And I realized, of course, she was right. He'd come back for one reason or another. They always did. And he'd see me and he'd know. And what could be easier for him? What could be easier for him than a sitting duck?
In just a moment, Act Two of Sitting Duck, starring Mr. Cesar Romero. Ever hear of anyone who traveled thousands of miles before they found real relief from acid indigestion? Well, Mrs. Margaret Mandelbaugh, 147 Main Street, Quincy, Massachusetts, did just that, she says.
2 years ago, my husband, our two children, and I came to the United States from Germany. I had suffered very much from acid indigestion all my life, until I discovered Tums here in America. Now that trouble is relieved so quickly that I feel like a new person, thanks to Tums. I wish everyone would use those wonderful Tums.
Well, friends, millions of people have turned to Tums, and no wonder. With Tums handy in your pocket or purse, you've got Johnny-on-the-spot relief from acid indigestion and heartburn. Blessed, fast relief. For Tums are carminative, soothing, relaxing. In a jiffy, your heartburn and acid indigestion are gone. You feel fine. Easy on the pocketbook, too. Tums are still only 10 cents a roll, 3-roll package a quarter. T-U-M-S, Tums for the tummy. Now, Act Two of Sitting Duck, starring Mr. Cesar Romero.
There I was, stuck up on top of a flagpole facing death from every direction and not able to do a thing about it. I couldn't come down. I still had 3 days to go. If I came down now, Kazan would win the bet and I'd lose. Either way, I'd lose, because if I stayed up there, that gun-crazy killer would pick me off. And if I ran, Kazan's boys would do the job. The odds finally decided me. I figured if I stayed there and sat tight, well, maybe the killer hadn't found out about me. And if he had, maybe he wouldn't chance picking me off in the broad daylight. Maybe. And he wouldn't be able to see the triad at night. I was safe at night. Or was I? I prayed that the next 3 days would go by fast. Late that afternoon, the pier and waterfront was deserted. Danny was sitting below reading a newspaper. Lucy had gone to get my supper. I was lying flat on my stomach, giving the boat sheds and docks a careful once-over. They were the places a guy could hide, and I wasn't taking any chances. I was focusing on a shadow between two sheds about a block away when I saw him. That is, I could see about half of him. A streak of sunlight cutting across a tan alpaca coat, catching a thin stream of cigarette smoke. I whispered down to Danny as loud as I could. Hey, Danny! Danny!
Yeah, Fred?
Send me up a magazine, quick!
Yeah, sure. You can have this one.
Boy, the swing was hoisted up to me. I scribbled some words on a piece of paper. I took the magazine, put the note on the swing, and partly covered it with an empty cup so it wouldn't fly away. Then Danny lowered it, read the note, and made a sign that he understood. He started walking over where the guy was standing. I watched him as he nearly passed the guy. Stopped. He said something to him. He took out a cigarette. The guy gave Danny a light. They talked a little while. And then Danny came back.
It's only one of Al Kazan's boys. He's sticking around to see that you don't come down.
Yeah. Only one of Al Kazan's boys. But how could I be sure? Maybe he was the killer. Or maybe one of the gunslingers Kazan had bet with. Or maybe Kazan hadn't really bet with anyone. Maybe he was lying. Maybe he wanted me dead so he could collect the $20,000 on my policy. Oh, no, no. I'd go crazy thinking like that. They came at 6 o'clock the next morning. The cops. Carloads of them. And an emergency truck. Dawn was coming up full, but the fog was thickening. There were about 15 men down there, and in a while I heard the sound of an engine pump. They were sending a couple of divers down after the body. Around 8 o'clock, Lucy and Danny came, and I signaled for Lucy to come up on the ladder.
Have they questioned you yet, Fred?
How'd they find out? Who tipped them?
Well, Fred, I...
You, Lucy, but why?
Oh, Fred, it's for the best. Honestly, I couldn't sleep last night. I was so worried. Don't you see, honey, once the cops are on it, the killer doesn't dare come near you.
Oh, no, Lucy, no. You shouldn't have done it. Why didn't you listen to me? Now there'll be reporters and photographers. My pictures will be spread on every front page. If this guy didn't know about me before...
Oh, Fred.
At least before I stood a chance, I could have kept my mouth shut and sat tight and prayed. Just 2 more days to go, but now... The fog stayed thick all that afternoon. Photographers came and started popping flash bugs all over the place like a pack of lightning bugs. The divers worked in 2 shifts. Then about 4 o'clock, they found it. Something bloated and covered with seaweed. About an hour later, a plainclothes man named McGivney came up my ladder.
His name's Rick Soma. The identification was immediate, so come on down. Shave that face of yours and start living on normal.
Look, copper, I don't know anything. I didn't see anything. I hear anything. I was asleep, I tell you.
Now, you look, Hollis, this wasn't a gang killing. It was pulled by 1 of 3 or 4 guys. There's an alarm out for them right now. But, of course, we can be wrong. And if we are, you're in no position to be holding out. So come on.
I tell you, I don't know anything.
No? Well, my advice to you is to get off this perch and start running.
I can't.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. You've still got another day to serve up here, huh?
You know about that?
There isn't anything we don't know. Now, come on down. Don't be a fool. Tell us what you saw and you'll live to collect.
I don't know what you're talking about. Leave me alone, will you?
The Weather Bureau says the fog will lift tomorrow. And if the Weather Bureau should be right for a change, you don't stand a prayer. Okay, sucker. Here, I'll let you borrow these.
Binoculars?
Yeah. When the fog lifts in the morning, take a good look around. Take a look at the skyline and all those buildings. Maybe you didn't figure on them. Maybe they seem too far away to you to matter. Well, let me tell you something, Hollis. A high-powered rifle eats up distance like a cat eats cream. Think it over. I'll leave a couple of men around.
Another thing I should have figured on. The buildings. What better place was there? 1 million windows, 100 roofs, and all of them looking right down on me. McGivney was so right. I had another 18 hours to go, and I didn't stand a prayer. I wasn't a sitting duck. I was a dead duck. But McGivney was wrong about one thing. The fog didn't clear up the next morning. It cleared up that night at exactly 11:23. I was lying down on my side with a chair in front of me, propped there like a shield, when I saw the first winking lights in the distance. Then as the fog lifted, they all came out. 1 million windows. Each one of them a place where this guy could pick me off from in the morning. Then I remembered the binoculars, and the next thing that occurred to me was Lucy. I put them to my eyes, and I focused on the third window from the top on the end. But there wasn't any light. It was out. I could almost see Lucy sitting in that room in the dark, maybe crying her eyes out. Then I did something I hadn't done in days. I slept. And I dreamed. A crazy, crazy dream about this infernal beard I had. And Kazan on the other end of a razor. But when I woke up, it wasn't a razor flashing in my eyes. It was the sun's reflection cast off a window in the distance. And it was morning. I snuggled in closer to the chair and nearly bent myself into a pretzel. It was morning, and I was trying to make myself as small as possible. The same 2 cops McGivney had left were still down there. I had a piece of paper in my hand rolled into a little ball. There was a license number written on it. I called out to one of the cops standing below. He caught the note and waved back at me and hurried off. 7 o'clock. 5 hours to go. The killer was probably still asleep, or maybe... Well, anyway, he had plenty of time. With a silencer and telescopic sights, he had 5 hours to plug away at me. What a cinch for him. Danny showed up at 7:30 with my breakfast, but I wasn't having any. He decided to climb up and spend a minute with me.
Hi, Fred.
Say, how's Lucy taking it, Danny?
Something awful, Fred. But she'll be glad to know you gave the license number to McGivney.
Yeah, but it's probably too late now.
Look. But how about if I bring you a big sheet of steel so you can hide behind it, huh?
Oh, it's no good, Danny. First place, where would you get a big sheet of steel?
I can...
And anyway, drawing a bead on me from the roofs of one of those buildings is practically a straight-down deal.
But you could cover yourself with it.
Oh, okay, Danny. If you want to try it, it's okay with me.
Oh, swell, swell. Don't worry now. I'll be right back. You just sit tight.
Yeah. 8 o'clock went by. 9. And I was hunched up so tight the cramp pain started shooting up my legs. I don't think I took the binoculars away from my eyes for a second. Where could he be? Where couldn't he be? Now and then I came on a guy opening a window and thought sure it was it. But every time it turned out to be just a guy opening a window. 9:30, 10. The minutes seemed like days. Where was Danny? Why didn't he come back? Where was Lucy? Oh, no, I was glad she didn't show up that morning. I didn't want her around when the bullets started coming. 10:30, 11 o'clock, one more hour. I was rolled up into a ball with my face pressed hard against the rough slats of the platform, my beard rubbing against my eyes and nose, itching and scratching until I could hardly stand it. Where was McGivney? Why didn't the... Did he get the license number? Where were the cops? Where was... 11:30, 11:45, any second now. Draw in your legs. I can't. Pull in your gut. Tuck in your head further. Be small, or be dead. 11:50, and I couldn't stand it any longer. I couldn't stand it. My legs were pained. My head was bursting, and my beard was itching. I couldn't take it any longer. I had to get on my feet. I had to stretch and kick and scratch, and I did. I stood up, and I stomped around the platform, and it was worth it. It was worth anything to scratch that beard, even the bullets. Two missed me. One got me. As I grabbed my side and sank down to the platform, my right hand came to the binoculars. And without thinking, I put them to my eyes. And I tried to focus them on the building, behind the big building, on a window. Third one from the top, on the end. Lucy. I wish I hadn't. Because he was in Lucy's room. The guy was in Lucy's room, still holding the rifle near the window. Lucy. He got Lucy.
Well, Fred, how do you feel?
Forgive me. Where am I?
You're in a hospital. You've been asleep for 2 days.
I was shot.
Yeah. Bullet hit your right leg, flesh wound. You've been suffering more from exhaustion, huh?
Exhaustion?
Mm-hmm. This came for you yesterday. Shall I open it?
Yeah, open it. Well?
An insurance policy.
It's Kazan.
Yeah, Kazan plays pretty square.
Then it was the other guy who shot me.
No, he never even knew the flagpole was there.
Yeah, but give me, this don't make sense.
No, I guess it wouldn't.
Where's Lucy? Where's Danny?
They're, dead, Hollis.
Dead?
We kept a continuous watch on all the hawk shops, and when a guy came out of one of them carrying a high-speed German rifle with telescopic sights, we tailed him. It was Danny.
Danny? But Lucy...
They were both in on it. They set up shop in her room and waited. I guess they hoped this other guy would pop you and save them the trouble. And at the last minute, when you stood up and stretched, well, it was then and never. At the first shot, we broke in. They started firing, and we fired back.
But the guy holding the rifle, I saw him.
It was me you saw by the window.
Why, McGivney? Why?
Oh, the old, old story. 100 days is a long time to be away from a girl like Lucy.
Lucy.
Is there anything I can do for you? Anything you want?
Yeah. Yeah, McGibney. I guess I want to shave.
Mr. Cesar Romero will return in just a moment. Christmas is in the air. Christmas parties, Christmas shopping, Christmas everywhere. Now's the time when you especially need your good night's rest. So be sure to have Tums handy. You see, the fun and excitement are apt to bring on sleep-destroying acid indigestion and heartburn. But Tums instantly start to soothe and settle your stomach, ease your distress away, so you can sleep restfully and naturally. You'll appreciate Tums' wonderful convenience, too. Nothing to mix or stir, no water needed. Just eat tasty Tums like candy mints. Tums are still only 10 cents a roll. The big economy box contains 12 10-cent rolls, costs only a dollar. It's a fine bargain and fine for Christmas gifts. Get Tums.
Take Tums.
Tums for the tummy.
Don't let acid indigestion get you down. Get Tums.
Tums for the tummy.
Always keep that handy little roll around. Eat what you like, don't let heartburn strike. Get T-U-M-S. Tums.
Thanks, Caesar. You practically had us sitting atop that flagpole with you.
Don, I'm glad to be down. And please, let me say thanks to Lillian Byath, Sidney Miller, Sheldon Leonard, and Bill Conrad.
Thanks again, Caesar. Caesar Romero can currently be seen in FBI Girl. Tonight's play was written especially for Mr. Romero by Muffet Peter and Frank DiFelita, with music composed and conducted by Jeff Alexander. The entire production is under the direction of Jack Johnstone. Now, in just 30 seconds, we'll meet Mr. Alan Ladd, the star of next week's thrilling play.
Friends, when that logy, all-in-need-a laxative feeling has you down, don't increase your distress by taking upsetting harsh drugs or phenyl derivatives. Take gentle, dependable Nature's Remedy, better known as NR tablets. NR tablets are all vegetable. No wonder their action is unbelievably gentle, yet thoroughly effective. Join the millions who are enjoying life again thanks to NR. Get NR tablets, plain or candy-coated, only 25 cents. Your money back if not delighted. NR tonight, tomorrow, all right.
Now here, transcribed, is the star of next week's Tums Hollywood Theater, Mr. Alan Ladd.
It's a beautiful night for Christmas Eve. Great night for it. White and cold with snowflakes drifting down against the windows. And if everything goes right, I'm going to have a swell Christmas. Yeah. Great night for Christmas Eve. But even better for breaking out of prison.
Thanks, Alan. Lefty Gallagher's Christmas Carol is one we won't miss. On tonight's program, all characters and incidents were fictitious. Any similarity to actual characters or incidents is purely coincidental. And now this is Don Wilson saying goodnight and reminding you that night and day, at home or away, always carry Tums. T-U-M-S. Tums for the tummy.
Just for laughs, hear Bob Hope next on NBC.